basketball Jones. I got a basketball Jones. Got a basketball Jones. Oh, baby. Ooh. Yes, I'm the victim of a basketball Jones. Ever since I was a little baby, I always be dribbling. In fact, I was the baddest dribbler in the whole neighborhood. Then one day, my mama bought me a basketball, and I love that basketball. I took that basketball with me everywhere I went. That basketball was like a basketball to me.
Previously on Beer Coasters.
Let's crack it.
A little roasted roastiness.
Get that damn fluffy beer out of my face.
You didn't reach across the bar and smack him across the face and say, drink local, damn it.
See how clever we are?
My dunkle is getting warm.
Warming of the dunkle.
Welcome to the Beer Coasters Podcast, a weekly podcast dedicated to bringing you the best in American craft beer from coast to coast and everywhere in between.
That's me.
I'm your host this week for episode number 101. This is Toby.
Dang.
Toby in Las Vegas, Nevada, and joining me is...
This is Chris in Dallas, Texas.
And Mike from Boston, Massachusetts. And I'm actually in Boston, Massachusetts this week.
Welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
So on the show this week, we are heading down the lane. We're doing a little dribble here and a little 360 spin, and we're going to slam dunkle this show.
Yeah, that's right.
Slam dunkle.
We're doing Dunkel Weiss beers.
Beer Coasters 101. We're schooling you.
Yeah. It's been a while since we've had like an actual style that we wanted to, like, I don't know, talk about and say, hey, this is what a Dunkel Weiss is.
Yeah.
We'll get into that when we get into our fermentation conversation, which is the Great Divide Dunkel Weiss.
Wow. Appropriate.
And, we're going to go through our hot topics this week. We've got something we want to talk about that's going on down there in Alabama. Is it Alabama?
Yep. I believe so.
Down there in Alabama.
Somewhere down south.
Some distribution issues. And then our tasting flight. Chris, what are you drinking?
I am drinking the New Belgium Lips of Faith Dunkel Weiss.
Sweetness. How about you, Mike?
I'm going back to Harpoon Brewery, and I'm going to try their 100 barrel series. This is number 34. This is their oak-aged Badunkel.
Badunkel.
And I will be going back to a growler this week. I am doing a local brewery here, Big Dogs Brewing Company. It's their Doghouse Dunkel Weissen. Fresh off the taps, baby. So, yeah. Then, of course, we've got our good old Tweet of the Week, a little bit of backwash, possibly, and into last call where we give you our pint ratings for the Slam Dunkel show.
Quite a bit of backwash tonight.
Quite a bit of backwash.
Oh, yeah?
Like a half a pint full.
Yeah.
Wait.
Ew.
All right, guys.
Full pint.
Let's
drink.
Let's juke some fools and slam dunkel this podcast. I don't know my basketball terms, damn it. And I don't want to say go Lakers. Not going to say go Lakers.
Don't do that.
Go Mavs.
Go Celtics.
There you go. Somebody.
Come on and watch us drink some beer. We're gonna talk about it. We're gonna drink some beer. Yeah, since the fermentation conversation. Yeah.
Thank you, Denver.
All right, folks, so here we are, courtside for the Slam Dunkel show. This is our fermentation conversation. We are all three trying the Dunkel Weiss from Great Divide Brewing Company. It's Great Divide out of Denver, Colorado. They've been brewing since 1994. The style is, yes, of course, a Dunkelweizen. And we haven't heard from the Beer Jargon guy in a while, so I think we're going to ask the Beer Jargon guy, hey, what the hell is a Dunkelweizen?
And now time for Craft Beer Jargon.
For this week's Beer Jargon, the term is a Dunkelweizen. Dunkel, in German, means dark. Similar to a Hefeweizen, these southern German wheat beers are brewed as darker versions, with complex malts and low balancing bitterness. Most are brown and murky, from the yeast. The usual clove and banana flavors will be present. Some may even taste like banana bread.
Ja, ist gut.
Ja, ist
Danke.
Es gut.
So, Danke, Beer Jargon Guy. Thanks, Beer Jargon Guy. So this is...
Nein, Steins!
GreatDivide.com is their website. You can the ABV is 6.4%. Couldn't really find any ingredients on this bad boy. But an interesting note. I don't know if Chris has mentioned this before on the show. He probably has. But they were ranked 7th in Beer Advocate's 2010 all-time top breweries on planet Earth.
Ooh. Dang. Oh, you know why you couldn't find any ingredients is for some reason this isn't even on the website.
Yeah.
Not quite sure why.
I don't know if they don't brew it anymore.
It's probably because it's like 2 years old.
Maybe. Rate Beer gave this an 81 out of 100 with a 91 to style, and the Beer Advocate users gave it a B. Go ahead and crack it, gentlemen.
Oh, well, I'm a crack it, all right.
I still have some defoilage to do.
Well, you're defoiling your beer. I'm going to open mine.
When you open it, go ahead and talk about it.
Ooh. A nice brown color. I got about a finger of bubbly head. Ooh.
Bubbly.
Ooh.
I'm using a Weizen glass.
Nice.
Yeah, it's, I was expecting it to be cloudy for some reason, but it's...
Mine's...
very brownish red. Yeah. I've got a film now. I've had it. It's quickly dissipated.
Yeah, same here.
So on the news,
I'm getting almost like a baby food, like a banana baby food. You know, like Gerber.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I pick up on some real dark fruits.
Yep, I'm getting like a fig.
Yeah, real strong.
Yeah, like banana and fig and very caramel sugar,
like overripe. Overripe
bananas
version of the fruit.
Super sweet.
Actually get some decent lacing. My head dissipated very quickly, but I got some real decent lacing on here.
Let's dive right in. Take a sip.
Taking a sip, yeah.
Has a dirtiness to it.
Yeah.
A dirty sweetness. I think it's
some of the descriptions of Dunkelweizens are typically like really sweet from what I've read.
I wouldn't call this really sweet.
Yeah, it's not.
I mean, not sweet like a Belgian triple or quad or anything. Right. But, like, it's very sweet for a wheat beer.
I think the description that we were talking about with the smell in, like, a really, really ripe banana, mm-hmm. I think fits in the taste as well.
Yeah.
But there's also a dryness in the end, like a dusty, dirty dryness.
Yeah.
Which is, I'm actually pleasantly surprised because on the nose, I was afraid it was going to be closer to a really thick, like a double bock.
Mm.
It's what it started smelling like to me was, oh man, this is going to be like one of those really thick, rich.
Yeah, bocks are usually stronger, which I actually got accidentally. I actually grabbed a Weizenbock and then I realized, you know, the differences between the beers is one was bock strength. And this is, you know... regular, you know, closer to it, like a black hef, I guess, you know, or brown hef.
Yeah. This one's what, 6.4?
Yeah. It tastes higher than that.
Yeah, it does.
Oh, it was bottled this on my has, birthday.
This has some ago. Of the same kind of notes that I got in the like the Mephistopheles from Avery.
Okay, yeah.
Some of the same kind of really dark notes, dark fruit notes. I get some of that in here, only not to the degree that I got it in those, but yeah. It's good, though.
I'm wondering if it's bottle conditioned, because I'm getting some... It's very cloudy towards the bottom, and I'm getting some sediment in here. Chris, would you pair this with anything?
Yeah, if I was going to pair this with something... All the dark fruit notes lend itself to something kind of... The thing that keeps coming to mind is something like a Bananas Foster's or a some sort of desserty type bread pudding or something along those lines, something caramely.
Yeah. I'm thinking like maybe a pork loin, like teriyaki style. Something that, you know, yeah, kind of some kind of caramelized sauce and pork, I think, would go pretty well with this.
Yeah, I'm thinking along the lines of something like German pub grub, like maybe Bavarian pretzels or some sort of potato.
Pretzel would be good with this. Yeah.
Like mashed potatoes and gravy. And
I'll tell you, their suggested food pairings for this are roasted chicken, which I could see, potatoes au gratin.
I was just thinking trout. That when he said the potatoes, I was thinking a cheesy potato. Yeah, the au gratin would be good.
But like the best one, the pecan pie, which
Ooh,
I think would go really well with this.
Interesting, yeah.
Yeah. Only thing though, I think this beer, I don't know, this beer is sweet to me, like sweeter than I guess because it's much sweeter than I was expecting it to be. So I don't know, with the dessert and the sweetness, but hey, I'm willing to try it.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm willing to try anything.
So that is...
Yeah, we know. We heard...
Yeah, try out some witch banging. So that is the Dunkelweiss Dark Wheat Ale from Great Divide Brewing Company, Denver, Colorado. Hop Topics up next, where we're going to talk about Great Divide.
Beer news from across the country. This is Hop Topics.
All right, Hop Topics. I think we need to change the theme song to the Hop Topics to just Mike saying, Hop Topics.
We're just going to mix the Hot Pockets commercial, and I'll just overdub all the voices.
Yeah. So this came over the wire yesterday, actually, on the 22nd of April, about, or is that today?
And never mind. Last week sometime.
So this came through beernews.org. It's titled Controversial Alabama Boycott Affects Craft Breweries Distributed by Anheuser-Busch Wholesalers. Now, this story through Beer News seems a little bit... It's first of all, it's titled better than the one that I came across yesterday. It was like some... online newspaper based out of like Denver or something like that, and it made it sound like that people in Alabama were boycotting craft beer, right, which is the exact opposite. Well, so this case. Is you a grassroots nonprofit organization.
Because of the fact that publication was based in Denver, most of the beers on this list are Colorado breweries.
Interesting.
So the grassroots nonprofit organization is called Free the Hops, and they're out of Birmingham, Alabama. And Alabama's got some crazy, weird, really old laws that need to be changed regarding alcohol sales.
Welcome
and
to the club.
All that stuff, yeah. So they've done this before, from my understanding, is they've done this whole boycotting thing. But what they're doing now is they're trying to boycott... Well, basically, they're trying to boycott Anheuser-Busch because the distribution of certain Colorado beers won't be making it into Alabama, something like that. Correct me if I'm wrong, guys.
No, I thought it had to do with the fact that there's two bills being worked on in the legislature in Alabama. One that would allow the sale of beer on premise, so like a brew pub. Something like that could actually sell directly to the public.
Getting growler fills.
Which is something that Texas is also working on. And then also a bill that would allow for the sale of beer in bottles that are bigger than 16 ounces. because apparently you can't sell beer in larger bottles, which is just retarded.
I'm sorry, Alabama people. I'm sorry you have to deal with such BS.
Ridiculousness.
So the problem is that Anheuser-Busch is lobbying to prevent the passage of those bills. So this group, this Free the Hops group, wants to boycott. They want to boycott Anheuser-Busch, but not just Anheuser-Busch. They want to boycott everything that Anheuser-Busch distributes. Well,
right.
If you've ever listened to the show before, or if you know anything about beer distribution,
yeah,
you know that most of the distribution goes through Anheuser-Busch or, you know,
yeah,
much larger breweries. So when right. when you
which they shouldn't even be distribution
arms right.
companies, in
well,
my opinion.
It's supposed to be separated
thing.
Out, but
right.
we've had that discussion before. But the problem with this boycott is that when you start talking about not just boycotting Anheuser-Busch, but also boycotting everything that they distribute, you start talking about all of these other breweries like Great Divide, which we're having on the show today. You're talking right. about
that we may not have on the show today if it weren't for Anheuser-Busch.
Exactly. So I understand.
You know what I mean, and that's
kind of the U.S. Postal Service.
I don't particularly
service.
Like that.
And I understand.
Thank you, Uncle Sam.
I understand people's hatred of the big three. But yeah. by that same token, a lot of the beers that people get in this country, you wouldn't be getting if it wasn't for the big three, because they're the ones
right.
with the distribution arms. They're the ones right. that have the money to send out, you know, Great Divide
so I think,
or Boulder Beer Company or Durango or Gordon Biersch or, you know, Tommy Knocker.
I think the craft brewers have to get together to create a distribution company.
There needs
you
to
know,
be more, yes.
At least,
that's,
and then they can have a little bit more control over where the stuff is going and whatnot. Because it seems like they have way, you know, the big breweries have way too much of a hold on, you know, the distribution, distribution side of things. Man, I don't know why I couldn't pronounce that.
Yeah. I'm glad we're talking about this, because I know that it's kind of this unspoken thing that, you know, like exactly what Chris just said. I mean, I always forget about it, you know, that when that big truck pulls into that, you know, your local liquor store, chances are it's got a big Bud Light thing on the side of it, you know, yeah. or a big Miller Coors thing on the side of it.
Right. They have Mesa distributing yep. is all the Coors beers, but it's also a heck of a lot of craft beers out of Colorado.
Right.
Because that's how Colorado's getting their stuff out of there. You know, it's from Mesa distributing, which is Coors.
Well, you know, it's like that with every brewery. I mean, in order to get your stuff nationwide, so, you know, all these people that are boycotting and all the people listening that are just total anti-Big Three, keep in mind, without the Big Three, you wouldn't get a lot of the stuff that you're able to get now.
Yeah.
Right.
So don't boycott the distributors, boycott the product.
Yeah, I'm all for don't buy Bud Light. But see, the part of the problem is and you know, I recognize this with this group, this Free the Hops group. Anybody that's going to listen to their boycott isn't drinking the other stuff anyway. So without going yeah. after the distribution piece of it,
yeah,
it would be completely ineffective.
Right, they're just preaching to the choir.
Exactly.
Kind of like what we do here on the Beer Coasters podcast.
Right.
Thanks for tuning in, beer geeks.
But you know, but then you end up hurting true craft brewers, you know,
yeah.
that are doing exactly what we want from a brewer.
It's a slippery yeah. slope, man. It's, I mean, laws
we
have
start
to change.
The beer coaster distribution company. Maybe that's where we're going to
yeah.
sink our funds into.
There
Not
you go.
Home brewing, but distribution. That's what we got to do.
So if
big beer coaster logo and big trucks driving across the country.
If you go to beercoasterspodcast.com/distribution, you can donate there for our
big trucks.
So we can build some
wholesale from coast to coast and everywhere in between.
That's right. So we can build some venture capital to get this distribution arm underway.
Nice.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. Mike, I want some Three Floyds out here. I want some.
I do too. I
yeah.
want some Three Floyds.
So do I.
I only get Three Floyds if someone else collaborates with them.
Yeah.
So right, let's drink some more beer.
Go to our website and click on the Hop Topics link. Give us some input, and maybe we'll talk about it again on next week's show or down the road. So, yeah, we'd like to know what you guys think about this whole thing.
And now, representing the middle of the country, it's time for Chris to drink some beer and tell us what he thinks.
Keeping the faith.
So, here I am. This is Chris in Dallas, Texas. And for my tasting flight this week, I am trying the New Belgium Lips of Faith series Dunkelweiss. So, I can't remember if I've done any other Lips of Faith series beers.
I've heard
yet.
The name before you mentioned it before.
I think you've talked about it. I know you've talked about it, yeah.
Or maybe you just have some in the fridge and haven't tried them yet on the show.
Lips of Faith is New Belgium's sort of specialty line, like one-offs kind of beers. I don't know.
It's almost like they like what Dogfish Head is doing with their like old recipes. Right. The Lips of Faith comes in and they do like, you know, sours. They do this Berliner Weiss that's like nobody does a Berliner Weiss. Ugh. You know, it's like an older traditional type thing.
Yeah, and I saw another. They had another one that was the Le Terrier. Which is
like a French terrier dog.
I think it's a barrel aged sour. I want to say. I don't know. I saw that in the store the other day.
Yeah, barrel aged.
We need to do sours. We still haven't done sours.
Terroir.
We need to do sours.
Oh, speaking of sours, I'm glad you said that because sours are huge on the West Coast. Just came back from San Diego, and everybody's drinking sours. A sour goes up on the board at any of these craft beer bars, and they're just getting like everybody wants them.
Good.
Sours are big right now.
Sours are good. So this week we're not doing sours. This week we're doing Dunkels. And so New Belgium Lips of Faith, Dunkelweiss. The brewery is New Belgium Brewery out of Fort Collins, Colorado. Website is www.newbelgiumbrewery.com. Style of this beer is a Dunkelweiss. ABV on this beer, 9.0%. So it's kind of a high one.
Ooh, lot.
Don't have the IBUs. Malts, they use a pale wheat and black barley malts. Hops, they use the Archer Farms Special Target. Not really Archer Farms, but Archer Farms. Target hops. And then
they should be, though.
And they also spice this beer with black pepper and cloves. So,
ooh, see, now this sounds good.
It sounds very interesting when you factor in the fact that it's a Weizenbier, so you're going to have those clove and banana notes anyway from the yeast, and so they're adding cloves in addition to that. So I'm very curious about this beer.
And who doesn't put pepper on their bananas?
I do all the time.
I do.
Beer rating of 97 out of 100. Beer Advocate users give it an A- and nothing from the Alstrom Brothers. Cracking that bitch.
Oh.
This bitch.
Which bitch?
The lips bitch.
which is which?
The lips bitch. Which Whoa. Lips bitch is which lips?
Uh-oh.
Which bitch's lips are which?
Nah, baby, that's just sediment.
Oh.
So I got...
That's just black pepper and cloves.
A whole lot of head.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Like 4 fingers worth of head, and it probably would have kept going if I... hadn't stopped.
That's like two Yeti fingers. That's like two Yeti thumbs.
Yeti thumbs. And the thing about it is it's a really thick head, and it's not dissipating very quickly.
Oh, we get that Jeopardy music again. As the head dissipates.
So it's very black in color. Down around the bottom, I can see a little bit of ruby highlights. It's a dark, very dark beer. On the nose. Banana. And cloves. I'm not getting much pepper.
Probably get a little pepper on the tongue.
Yeah.
After
taking a sip. Yeah.
As soon as it dissipates a little bit more. Lots of good banana and spicy cloveness sort of playing off each other on the nose. Oh, I can't wait to try this.
Mm.
Do it. All right,
here we go.
Do it.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Really nice sweet banana flavors on the front, and then as it sort of goes to the back, you hit a little more of the spicy cloveness, and then that black pepper.
Bananas in the front and cloves in the back.
Right. And then the black pepper hits you on the way down. It's actually really interesting.
The black pepper hits you on the way down.
Back on the way down.
This is a really good beer.
Damn you, black pepper. Yeah. That's a cheap shot.
Oh, you always kick me when I'm down.
Lips of Fate.
So, okay. Let's see if I can pick out some other things. Interesting. A little bit of chocolate. A little bit of caramel. Lots of sort of sweet flavors.
Is it rich?
Yeah, it's very rich. Yeah, it's
have a fuller mouthfeel than
yeah, for sure.
Than the I thought the Dunkel was kind of on the heavier side of medium as far as the body of the beer.
Yeah, this one has a little bit more body. It's a little bit fuller mouthfeel. It's got some really nice sweet flavors. Some good chocolate and vanilla and banana and just lots of those sort of desserty candy flavors in there. Oh, I wish you guys could try this. It's really good.
Sounds good. Looks good.
Eventually, I'll get some New Belgian.
If I was gonna
New Belgium,
I've seen that here. I should pick up a bottle. I've been tempted to grab any of these Lips of Faith ones that I see.
It's actually a lot better than I expected it to be.
It's always good when you underestimate the beer.
And I don't know. I don't really know what I would. I guess when I heard Dunkel. I don't know. For some reason, I was picturing something along the lines of a lager, something that had a little more metallic taste. And of course, that's not at all what it is. Yeah, it's very tasty. If I was going to pair this with anything, it's got a very bright sweetness. So something like an apple tart or a maybe not an apple tart, but a fresh fruit tart would be good. Or like a pad thai with shrimp. Would be good.
Alright.
Yeah, pad thai shrimp. Yeah, but those are that's good stuff, man.
You think do you need to think about it some more? Do
no,
a little recap in last call?
Pad thai or sweet fruit tart or something. That's good. So that's the New Belgium Lips of Faith Dunkel Weiss.
Back east we've got Mike drinking beer. Let's hear what he has to say about this one.
Si, senor.
Mike from Boston, and I'm going to try Harpoon. This is their 100 barrel series, number 34, oak aged a Dunkel.
It's been a while since you've. Yes. There's been a lot of barrels that have been skipped on the show.
Yes.
Hasn't there?
Absolutely. Yeah. I can't remember. I've done a few. I've done the oyster stout. I think I've done the maple wheat.
Oh, it was the oyster stout that you did? I just had that. It's very tasty.
But this is
already up to 34.
Nice. Actually, they're beyond it. This is like a couple
barrels ago.
When was this brewed?
Barrels ago.
Yeah, it was a few barrels ago. Anyway, this is from Harpoon Brewery out of Boston, Massachusetts. Their website is www.harpoonbrewery.com. The ABV on this beer is 5.7. The IBUs are 30. This is interesting. Rate Beer rates this 73 out of 100. But to style, it's 94 out of 100. Thought it was kind of interesting. And I know we don't usually talk about the style part, just the overall. But anyway,
it's stupid.
Seems to be anyway. A big difference. Beer Advocate users rate this AB, and the Ahlstrom brothers rate it AB as well. I'm going to crack it.
AB?
B.
Oh.
No, B. The ingredients on this beer, they try to use traditional German ingredients. They use Munich malts. For hops, they use Tettnang. And for yeast, they use a German ale yeast.
Pretzels.
And they age this in American oak, but this is not barrel aged. They use the oak spirals in a separate vessel to get the oakiness.
Hey, you know what is like the best there. German ingredient in the world? American oak.
Yeah. It is. Well,
that's ridiculous.
It's looks like a brown ale. It has it's very clear. It's bordering kind of between a red and a brown. I got like the perfect head. It's like a finger and a half.
Oh, yeah.
Just kind of hanging out. Good retention.
That's picture
good retention.
Perfect right there.
So as if, like, Nevada bordered Mexico.
Yeah.
What?
It's a rich. It seems like it sometimes. A thick head. There's like the head retention on this is much thicker than the Great Divide, and on the nose, it's weird. It says German ale yeast because I'm getting kind of a lager yeast, but some caramel in there too. Then there's kind of a floral type hop. Smells a bit bready as well.
Pretzels.
It's a bit bready.
It's a bit bready. I gotta take a sip.
Gotta. Or else we wouldn't have a show.
Taking a sip, yeah.
We used to get the... I remember we get the Dunkel at Hofbräuhaus in Vegas.
Yeah, that's what the whole thing reminded me of. When I hear Dunkel, I think the Hofbräuhaus.
So what say you, sir?
So say we all.
It has a bit of I wouldn't say roastiness, but it's got a toasted toastiness. It's a bit of that woody character in there.
I like toast.
And some caramel malts.
Yeah.
Dries right up, though. It's like crisp at the end. It kind of dries right up. The hoppy bitterness kind of...
So like toast without the butter.
Cleans it right up. Yeah. Dry toast.
I don't much like dry toast.
Well, this is dry toast.
Unless it's like a cracker. Good. Unless it's a Melba toast.
Ooh, Melba toast. There we go.
There you go.
Isn't that more Australia, though? Melba?
Is it?
No, I don't know.
Melba toast, I always think of like bruschetta, you know? Even though bruschetta is more of like a, you know, like a French bread or a sourdough that you put basil and tomatoes
Meanwhile,
on.
Meanwhile, during Mike's beer tasting... Oh, we just figured out your beer pairing for you. Just keep going.
Yeah, there you go. Freaking
Melba toast. Yeah.
My turn to drink.
Melba toast with some basil and tomatoes.
I'm getting some spiciness coming in.
The poor man's bruschetta.
I kind of like the balance of this. It's very drinkable. It's a little tiny bit on the lager side. It kind of tastes a little bockish.
Bockish. What'd you call me?
You're bockish. I like how it just kind of bitters up at the end, though, and kind of dries everything up. But it's got some a decent malt character in there. If I was going to pair this with anything, I think a good old-fashioned ham, like honey-baked ham or something.
Mm.
Or nice. Like, you know, bake a ham with like honey and clove or something like that would go. Oh, well, with this beer.
Yeah.
I haven't had a good ham in a long time.
Christmas?
Nope.
No?
No, we do a prime rib for Christmas.
Oh, nice.
That's
Texas way. That's how we celebrate Christmas in Texas. It's a prime rib.
No, I've done prime rib for a long time, ever since I've lived in California. So.
Oh, okay.
So if you get a chance, check this one out. It might be tougher to get. It's an older session from the Harpoon 100 Barrel Series. This is their Oak Aged Adunkel.
Adunk.
And now out west, it's time for Toby to drink some beer. Let's hear what he has to say about it, shall we?
Yeah, are you ready for that?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Are you ready for this?
I'm in the red. Oh, wait a minute. That was like weeks and weeks ago.
What?
Can you deal with this?
Can you deal with this?
All right.
Can you do with that?
So this, I am, this is Toby in Las Vegas, Nevada.
I am
drinking.
Toby.
I am Toby.
I am.
Spartacus?
I'm drinking local bitches. I'm drinking big dogs. Hey,
there's nothing bitches. Better than local bitches.
That's right.
Especially when you're drinking them.
Depends on where your locale is.
Yeah, this is true.
This is Big Dogs Brewing Company out of Las Vegas, Nevada. They've been brewing since 1988, which I didn't know they've been around that long. We got multiple locations all throughout town. You can find them on the internet at bigdogsbrews.com. The style I'm drinking is a Dunkel Weissen, coming in at 5.5% ABV. It uses Kara Munich and chocolate malts. That's all the ingredients I got on this one. I actually have a growler. So this is fresh from the tap, baby.
Ooh.
Interesting note about Big Dogs. They've been winning Great American Beer Festival
Awards
since 1993.
Duh.
And the most recent they won was the silver medal in 2009 with their Watchdog Wit.
What was the ingredients again? Tiger's blood.
Winning. All right, so I'm twisting it. The growler.
Oh, this twisting the growler. Get it, growler, big dogs.
Yep.
Whoa, that's a big glug. Yeah.
Oh yeah. So it pours out quite a few shades darker than the Great Divide. It's a very deep brown with hints of red in it. I got a nice about finger and a half of head. It's fairly cloudy. Can barely see through it.
Fairly cloudy, nice. With a chance of showers.
On the news. Whoa, what is that?
That's beer.
Oh, man. This smells
German.
That's
the Funky Dunkel. See, now there's a name for a beer.
Oh, there's...
The Funky Dunkel,
The Funky
yeah.
Dunkel.
That's nice. There's a... Ooh. There's a dirtiness. There's a really stinky maltiness. There's a slight hint of sweetness in there, like maybe a honey. But up front, there's this really weird... It's almost medicinal or plasticky.
Uh-oh.
You know what I mean?
It's not good.
Plasticky.
But it doesn't... It's weird. I don't know. I gotta find...
And you got a growler. You got 64 ounces of this. Which, going back to...
Yeah, I thought they had a...
Hop topic, by the way. So they don't allow 22s, but you can get a six-pack, which is a hell of a lot more maybe than 22. It just comes with more glass.
Maybe it's more of like a soapiness, which could come from the yeast.
So far, nothing good. Soap, plastic...
No, it's actually...
medicinal.
I know, it sounds funky.
Yeah.
But now that the head is dissipating, it's not so
it's
strong.
It's a tasty medicinal plastic soap. I see.
There's even a slight woody character in there too. Weird. Okay, I'm taking a sip.
Are you sure?
Taking a sip, yeah.
There's this. It tastes like alcohol. Like almost like a rubbing alcohol.
Jesus.
This sounds like a shitty beer.
Could you not sell this beer?
It has a good mouthfeel. It's got like this nice tart mouthfeel. Not really a tart flavor, but like a tart mouthfeel. Like it has that zip on your tongue. And it finishes not really dry. It's actually quite drinkable. I mean, there's a medium body. There's some good carbonation. What else is in there? Maybe like a cherry, like a toasted maltiness. Interesting. It does taste very German. It actually doesn't taste as bad as you guys think I'm making it sound.
As we think or as you're making it sound?
Yeah.
I keep like wanting to take another sip of it because I'm like, really? Is that what's going on here? It's not disgusting. It's not bad. It actually... it's just weird.
That's a glowing endorsement.
So, yeah.
Well, it's not disgusting.
What would you pair it with? Is there any pub fare at Big Dogs that you could pair it with?
Big Dogs has some good food, man.
Pretzel burger.
We were just there recently. Oh. Dude, the Bratzel is the bomb. It's... I would have a Bratzel with this.
It's a burger
on
a pretzel bun with a grilled bratwurst on it.
And grilled, what do you call it, fried onions?
Yeah.
Oh, dude.
The thing is, like, the ultimate heart attack.
Sounds
but
amazing.
It's,
yeah,
awesome. It's so good. It's so good. Yeah, I'd pair it with the Bratzel. Sure, man.
Now I have to have a Bratzel.
I will have more to say about this.
I'll be in Vegas in a few weeks, and I'm going to have a Bratzel. All
right, so this is the Doghouse Dunkelweizen from Big Dogs Brewing Company, Las Vegas, Nevada. I Speak Swag says,
you know something bad is about to happen when someone says, hold my beer and watch this.
It's the tweet of the week.
so we got quite a bit of backwash this week.
I like how that
some
sounds.
Some new listeners.
Quite a bit of backwash.
Yeah.
So some new listeners, and Chris, take the first one. Why don't you?
I will. So for the first bit of backwash, we got via email from Greg in Anaheim. His subject is Bud Miller Coors replacements.
Okay, says, hi. Anything.
Yeah. Says, hi, Done. Guys. Can Next. You recommend a good quality... yeah. He says, thanks, Greg. Can you guys recommend a good quality Bud Miller Coors replacement for someone like my wife who can't stand anything above one ABU? IBU, not ABU.
It's the American bitterness unit, not international.
This is
international. That's right.
Yeah.
Also, for myself, sometimes on a hot sunny day after mowing the lawn and sitting out by the pool, I don't always want to bust out a nice porter. Sometimes an ice-cold Pacifico with a lime sounds super refreshing. Mm-hmm. I had Green Flash Yellow Fizzy beer once, but it's only on tap at a notable brewery in Escondido. Any other suggestions for a scorcher? I enjoy Hef, but they get a little nasty after a few. Also, Anaheim Brewery is reopening after 90 years.
Wow.
Can't wait for it, as it's in walking distance and the owner brewer is my neighbor. Cool.
That's pre-prohibition stuff, dude.
That's right.
That's crazy.
Wow.
OC Brews are really picking up steam with the brewery, Bootleggers, Noble Ale Works, and others. Here's a good read, and then he gives a link. Love the podcast. Just found you last week. I'm going to go back and listen to old episodes, so pardon if this was already covered. I don't think we've covered it already. One interesting thing is when he talks about the OC Brews, he mentions Noble Ale Works, which is
our brothers in promos.
Yes.
Yep.
Carrie Kelly from Aces and Ales in
Alice Cooper.
Las Vegas. He's in
Alice Cooper's guitarist.
It's one of his little side projects, so to speak. He's a hand in Noble Ale Works. So very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, guys, Bud Miller Coors replacements.
I had one thing is if it's Bud Miller Coors, like he was talking about his wife, I've had the same issue, and I found that you can't seem to go the route of other pilsners. It doesn't seem to work. They're still seem to be a little bit too hoppy and bitter. For Renee, I basically tried like some of the berry flavored beers, the wheat beers, the Belgian wits worked really well. Believe it or not, now she's really likes these sour beers. Which I know sour beers are completely different than a Bud Miller and Coors, but
I can
when you're
see
talking
that,
about, it's just a matter of you opening your mind. It's like, you know what? This is still beer. If you enjoy these flavors just as an alcoholic beverage in general.
I think it's more of opening your mind and saying this is not beer.
Well,
does that make sense?
Well, yeah, in a sense, as long as you think that,
it's getting away from the concept.
Bud Miller Coors isn't beer. It's really what you gotta,
big entry level beer for people that don't traditionally like craft beer. Pyramid's Apricot Ale,
yeah,
which I don't even know what it's called now, but for whatever reason they changed it.
Yeah,
I'm a big believer in saisons. Yes. I think saisons, if and especially for you, Greg, when you're talking about
the lawnmower beers.
The lawnmower beer saison is absolutely the
farmhouse
way to go.
Sales.
The one I had a couple weeks ago, Great Divides Colette, great beer for a lawnmower beer.
Beer de Garde, we had that show, and I thought that was like surprisingly refreshing and still had that kind of... It was actually, to me, it was probably the most palatable in the lager-ish flavors, if you can find something like that. I know that's a little bit harder to find, the Beer de Garde style, but that seemed to be a very kind of refreshing way to go in the kind of in the lager side of things. Anyway,
I'm really of the opinion that the saison beers, if they just market them correctly, are going to take off, because you're going to get a lot of people that don't like heavy, bitter craft beers and are going to really enjoy the saison because of the sort of, I mean, that's what they were made for. They're made for springtime and, but go ahead.
Chris, when you go into, would you be too worried that there's, because when you go from something like Bud Miller Coors, these American lagers that are so watered down and so flavorless, and then you go into something like a Saison with all of these flavors. They're not necessarily over the top or too hoppy or
that's
whatever.
What I think, though. But that's
great,
but
flavors, but
that's the
is
thing,
it
though.
Too much?
No, I don't think so, because I think the thing about the Saison is the fact that it's not overly hoppy. There's definitely some complexity to them.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Complexity, I guess that's what I was getting at.
But that's okay. Complexity is okay, but it's a very balanced complexity. And you know, you talk about watered down with the big three, but it's the Saison is very much like that in that it's the flavors in a Saison are not super bold.
I was going to say, I mean, I know he said something about he doesn't like to drink too many Hefeweizens. I think Hefeweizen is a great introduction because even in the summertime, I mean, especially in the summertime, but yeah, I can see how a couple, you know, they start to get a little too thick and too whatever. They're not as refreshing after a few. But if you go into like the Widmer Hefeweizen, Francis Connor, I know it's not American craft beer, but that is like the quintessential Pyramids Hefeweizen. Start somewhere in there.
And
where
the Belgian
you get into
wit,
these smooth
Avery White Rascal, I like
beers.
Quite a bit too.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Blue Moon, you know,
yeah,
those
Belgian,
type beers.
Belgian wits are good entry level.
Great entry level. And then from there, you could move on to something like pale ales. You know, maybe from there you'll switch up the sweetness and the weediness and the maltiness for something a little more crisper and hoppy. But you know, West Coast pale ales, you know, those might be a little too bitter to a lot
too
of
hoppy,
people.
Yeah.
So,
well, that's where you're gonna find out. I think for most people with craft beer, they're gonna find out what they like. If they don't like bitter, then they're gonna like more. You know, they may like sour, or they may like sweet, or they may like the, you know, the wheat beers. They may like
start to go
the roasted way and go with brown ales and then porters and stouts and kind of ease your way into it. That's kind of the best way where you ESBs,
a good
reds, and browns are
Ambers.
A good kind of in the middle to kind of test the waters whether you start liking the darker stuff as well.
A good thing to do, go to Noble Ale Works, get a tasting flight, you know, get like a flight of six beers. And if you've got food with you, that's another good thing. I think food can also help with people, you know, if they're drinking something that's a little too hoppy, but yet they have some sort of snack that they can balance it out with, it might complement and it might help them transition a little bit better. The brewery, I know he mentioned the brewery because they're in Anaheim and everything. Those guys might be a little too much for somebody starting off because their stuff is very complex. They're very Belgian, and I know Belgian is a very particular, very acquired taste for certain people, and it takes a little bit. You know, I've got some friends of mine that avoid Belgian beers because of, you know, the Belgianiness. But
or they get angry at Stone for going Belgian.
Yeah. So anyway. Yeah,
we hope we helped. I don't know if we made it more confusing for you, but we hope we helped and continue to listen.
Mike's suggestion of the Belgian wit is probably the best, I think.
For the lawnmower beers?
For the wife. Yeah. Saison, I think, is the best for the lawnmower beer, but the Belgian wit, I think, is the best as a gateway beer.
Yeah, Belgian wit's good. It's got a sweetness. It's got a spiciness.
Or that orangey citrusness that, I don't know, I find it.
Yeah.
You know, a very pleasurable flavor without being, you know, that's, you know, the girly berry beers.
Yep. All right, let's move on. We got a lot to cover.
Okay.
Do you have any raspberry beers?
This next one is from Kevin. We heard from Kevin a little while back from the Connecticut. Was it the Connecticut Beer Trail or the group that he has there? I know I should probably have this done correctly and I should have done
Connecticut
my homework.
Beer Trail.
But, anyway, he says, great episode this past week. Via your question about double/single Trappist beers, I found the following information on Wikipedia. Kevin goes on to give us some information from Wikipedia about the Belgian styles, the doubles and triples, and we talked about the Abbey style. And we haven't seen, at least I hadn't seen Abbey like as a single. He actually finds in Wikipedia this thing called Enkel, which I've never heard of before, which is what they consider the single, which we thought was an Abbey style. But then they go on to mention that the triple is actually the strongest version of the Belgian style, but it doesn't go on to mention the quad. So, I'm still a little confused. I really appreciate the information, but yeah, I think we have to still do a little bit more homework to find out. Because I have not heard
of a feeling the quad is more of a newer kind of
a new interpretation. You don't think there's a quad that's done by, say, some of the Trappist breweries? We have to look into that and see if there's any Trappist breweries doing a quad. But you know, they go on to mention the you know, the types of beers that they considered kind of the foundation of the different beer styles, like with the triple, it's the Westmalle triple,
Chimay,
and I mean Chimay or some of the other ones with the you know, the Abbeys and the doubles and whatnot. But we really appreciate the information, and we'll kind of do a little bit more homework. And I'm curious to see if I can find any American brewers doing this Enkel, you know, or meaning single, for the Belgian styles. So anyway, thanks again, Kevin, and keep the backwash coming. We love it. Thanks.
And this last bit comes from Daryl, and he's representing the North Texas Beer Festival. We talked about it last week on the show. Chris is going.
That's right. I am going. Texas.
He says, "Hey, Chris, thanks for the support. The idea for the event was put in my head a couple of years ago by a friend that is a home brewing enthusiast. We apparently have struck a nerve. The response to the event has been overwhelmingly positive. This thing is taking on a life of its own, and we're looking forward to a great event. The primary goal of the festival is education. Texans drink a lot of beer and are steadily making the shift towards better beers. We hope to kickstart that process, raise awareness of the limitations the state legislature burdens Texas brewers with, help promote craft beer culture, and have fun doing it. We're hoping to appeal to a large demographic through the events we are offering: samplings, cooking classes, keynote speakers, home demonstrations," which doesn't mean home brewing demonstrations.
I think so, yeah.
"Live music and so on. While the focus is on beer, we are also devoting an area to Texas wineries. Hopefully we can draw the beer, wine, and food enthusiasts to the event by offering something for everyone."
I'm really looking forward to this event. I think it's going to be really interesting to see where they're going with it, and and hopefully it's successful.
Yeah, and things could change after this. I mean, this could be a groundbreaking thing for Texas, you know?
Cool.
As far as, like, maybe laws may change after this, maybe.
Sweet. Thanks for the backwash.
All right, everybody, last call.
All right, pint ratings. Give it to me, Chris. Give it to me, Chris.
Pint ratings.
Yes, Chris, we're waiting on you.
We've got two beers.
For the Great Divide, Dunkel Weiss.
Dunkel Weiss.
I'm kind of torn on this beer. I mean, it's tasty, but it didn't knock my socks off. But it's very serviceable.
Serviceable.
And obviously, I need a few more of them. Three pints for the Dunkel Weiss from Great Divide. The Dunkel Weiss from New Belgium's Lips of Faith series. Really, really like this one.
Nice.
Some really nice sweetness and caramely banana, chocolate, clove tastiness.
Chocolate clove tastiness.
I feel conflicted lately because I feel like I've been doing this a lot, and maybe it's just a string of good luck, but I'm five pinting this bitch.
Whoa! Dude, I am shocked. I know you like it, but dang, five pints.
Yeah, and I've done five pinters a lot lately, but honestly, I've had a lot of really good beers lately.
All right.
5 pints.
I think you're hitting that midlife crisis.
That's it.
And you're like, everything is so delicious and beautiful.
That's it.
The world is a beautiful
Mike,
place.
Maybe, maybe I need to go back and retry the Abita Pecan.
Yeah. There you go. Pecan Harvest. Do
Harvest.
It.
Nice.
Buy a whole six pack.
So
I'll get right on that.
For my pint ratings this week, the Great Divide, a Dunkel Weiss, Dark Wheat Beer. I can't get past the sweetness that makes it less drinkable. Like, I still have more of that in my glass than than my other beer. I kind of want to give it a 3.5.
Kinda,
yeah. For the Harpoon.
So I guess that means you're giving it a 3.5.
Since yeah, it's a 3.5.
I'm giving it a 3.5 too. I think for different reasons, but I kind of feel they're like the same. It's so weird because they taste so different, but I'm giving them the same pint rating, and it's kind of hard to justify. But yeah, that's what I'm doing. The Harpoon's more drinkable. I like some of the flavors of the Great Divide. It was just too sweet, and the other one had a little bit too much of the lager-y-ness. So I guess if I could combine the two beers, it would be much better. But anyway, 3.5 for both. That's my pint ratings. That's my ratings.
I think I'm right there with Chris on the Great Divide Dunkelweiss. I thought it was pretty good. There's not really much else to say about it. I mean, I enjoyed it. It's kind of middle of the road type of a beer for me.
Yeah, so. Yeah, I know. Pints. I'm probably rating it a little bit too high.
So the big dogs, Doghouse Dunkelweizen, I'm gonna go with a 2.5. I probably made it sound a lot worse than it actually is, but I think that there's just some funky hop yeast combination that's giving it this weird kind of vinegary, pickly,
medicinal, plasticky.
Yeah, weird dog aromas. Weird aromas and interesting flavors. But the thing is that it's still a drinkable beer, and it's not horrible. It just has these really strange flavors in it that you don't typically get in beers, or even my experience with Dunkels. It's just interesting and different and weird, but it's not disgusting. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. I guess I would say check it out. If you're in Las Vegas and you're at Big Dogs and they have the Dunkelweizen on tap, don't know how long they will have it for. But I would say ask for a small glass of it, ask for a taster just to see, because there's some funky, interesting, weird things going on with this beer.
So kind of like that weird Dunkel that only shows up at family reunions and is off in the corner and nobody wants to talk about that Dunkel.
Keep the kids away from that one. Yeah.
That's the weird Dunkel.
I'm still drinking it, and I'm not like, oh God, I can't believe I bought a whole growler of this thing. Ugh. Because it's not... Anyway, I'm still drinking it, so screw you guys. I'm going home.
Screw you guys. Right.
You are home.
So, on to our shout-outs, individual shout-outs. I would like to start off with the shout-outs. Yes.
Fine, so how
thanks
this week?
Thanks to all the backwash we got this week, Greg in Anaheim, Kevin, and Daryl from North Texas Beer Festival. So, screw you guys.
You're telling them, Chris? You're saying screw you guys, or thank you? Oh, okay. So you're saying thank you to them.
Thank you to those guys.
Thanks to those guys.
I'd like to give a big thank you to Daryl. He kind of hooked me up. So from North Texas Beer Festival, you can check them out at northtexasbeerfestival.com. Coming up May 14th, they're going to have the first annual, North Texas Beer Festival here at the Plano Center here in Plano, Texas, just north of Dallas. Really looking forward to this. They're gonna have a bunch of breweries, food, some wineries, bands. It's gonna be off the chain, as the kids like to say.
Do they say? Actually, the kids in Texas say kids, that.
I don't know that they say that. So
they say it's off the lasso. It's off the ropes, baby.
Nice.
It's off the stirrups.
Whoa!
I'm pretty sure that they don't say that.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure they don't say that either.
Damn, y'all, that's off the stirrups.
Well, we lost, who was that? Daryl in North Texas? Yeah. Well.
Come on, guys.
Nice. I want to give a shout out to Brittany and Tiffany for making the show possible for me last week. I kind of had a makeshift setup for our 100th show. And it was all they're doing. I got, you know, a room and I borrowed a microphone from Brittany and also a laptop, and it kind of it made the show possible.
Made it happen.
So thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
And if you are on the Twitter, you can check us out. We are Beer Coasters Pod. We're also on Facebook, and we're now on Untappd, so look for us there.
I'm untapping everything.
And don't forget, you can leave your comments, suggestions, favorite beer, your favorite beer bar, or any questions that you have this week's backwash.
Yeah, this week's backwash is great with the recommending beer styles and stuff. Yeah. We love that kind of backwash. That's kind of like what we're hoping for when we get this kind of stuff, so that's great.
Yeah. And you can do that by emailing backwash to backwash@beercoasterspodcast.com, or you can leave us audio backwash by calling our backwash hotline at 339-225-9274. That's 339-BACKWASH without the C, B-A-K-W-A-S-H.
And don't forget to check out our wiggity website. It's www.beercoasterspodcast.com. All kinds of cool stuff there. You can subscribe in iTunes and also podcast.com.
And if you want any beer coaster swag, like some shirts and steins and stickers and stuff, you can go to our website, click on the shop link, go there, buy some stuff, help support the show. And of course, tell your friends. If you have any beer geek friends that like listening to talk radio and podcasts and stuff, tell them about the Beer Coasters podcast.
Or if you're trying to convert friends. Take them too.
Thank you. Thank you so much for listening. We really appreciate it.
And don't forget about Aces and Ales in Las Vegas, Nevada, owned by our friend Carrie Kelly, who also is a partner in Noble Ale Works out of Orange County, which we heard about a little bit earlier in the show. If you go to our website, you can download the wild card flyer. You take that into your Aces and Ales there in Las Vegas, Nevada, and you'll get your first pint on the house.
Awesomeness.
Very cool.
Wild card, bitches.
In conjunction with that and all of the Orange County recommendations that we got from Greg in Anaheim, support your local brewery, brew pub, etc. Drink local, bitches, because local is fresh.
It's fresh.
Don't drink and drive, because that's just dumb.
It is dumb. Very dumb.
Cheers, everybody.
Cheers.
Great show, guys. Cheers.
90 steins.
Which lips, bitches, which lips? Which bitches' lips are which?
It's always good when you underestimate the beer.
Damn, y'all, that's off the stirrups.
There's nothing better than local bitches. Especially when you're drinking them.
Mit die Steine sind die Dunkelweizen.